Point de mire. Broadcasted by Canal Academy. Listen to Priscille Lafitte.
Hello, we have the great honor of receiving today in our studio Mrs. Jane Conroe, member of the Royal Irish Academy, and as such, invited at the Institut de France in Paris for an important meeting of European academies. Welcome, Jane Conroe. We're very pleased to have you here. Jane Conroe, you're doing this interview in English, and as a matter of fact, you're perfectly bilingual in French as well, and your teaching and research work focus on 17th century literature, culture and mentalities, intercultural context, travel literature and sociolinguistics. And your works in French have been rewarded by the Académie Française, the French Academy for Literature. An interview has been made in French, especially on your works, and it is available on Canal Académie. Jane Conroe, just like the French Institut de France, the Royal Irish Academy comprises academies for science and humanities, both. What is the history of this academy?
Well, the academy was founded much later than your Académie Française and the Belles Lettres and Inscriptions. We were founded in 1785. And originally, there were three sections. One of them was science, another was polite literature, which is our way of translating Belles Lettres. Or it was the way at the time of translating Belles Lettres. And the third section was antiquities, which was very important to Ireland at the time to try to create a sense of an ancient nation. And so the Royal Irish Academy grew up as a société savante, as a learned society, and it very quickly acquired a higher status than other learned societies around it. It was given a royal charter by George III, and it was given important buildings to occupy in Dublin, and it still has one of these buildings and another one adjacent to it, and it's expanding, in fact, at the moment. So it's been looked after by the Irish state quite well, but it doesn't have anything like the wonderful donations that the Institut de France has, and which we've heard about in the last few days. It's not as rich as your institutes.
Yeah. And yourself, you're at the head of the literature department.
Yes, well, my responsibility is as a humanities and social sciences secretary. The proper title is Polite Literature and Antiquities. But in fact, nowadays, it includes humanities and social sciences. So I'm responsible, to some extent, for bringing together, coordinating the work of our committees. We have a lot of committees in each of the disciplines in humanities and social sciences. And my position is to, as it were, oversee all of that, call the committees together, encourage them in their work, and help them to work laterally across their disciplinary divides, to be multidisciplinary in their approach. And also, at the moment, we've had some major funding, which I'm responsible for managing some funding to set up a digital humanities observatory. So that's a very large part of my time at present.
And yourself, you're working on literature, French literature and history. And regarding your works, I reckon you must believe in this res publica literaria that Marc Fumaroli, member of the French Académie Française, promotes. Yes. And he promoted that this morning. What do you think of the Irish-French links and relations? I know this vast question.
It's a vast question, but it's one that I'm really interested in. I mean, do you mean historically over centuries, our political relationship, or our literary relationship?
Let's focus on what's going on today. What are the things that you believe can be done today between both academies in French, in France and in Ireland?
Well, I think we could have more contact. It would be very desirable. We have in Ireland at the moment, we still have a very strong leaning towards France. And I think that's for historical reasons, for all those political things that we won't talk about now. The Irish have a very, I'm not saying this just to please you, but the Irish have a very warm feeling towards France. It is We have other neighbours. We have England to one side of us, and then we have France. And I think Europe has always really been represented for us by France. So I think there's a very favourable attitude between the two countries. I think French are extremely warm towards the Irish as well. So there's a very good terrain to build on. I would say that if we just look at the universities, a lot of our exchanges are with France. In my small department of French literature, we would each year have 8 or 9 lecteurs coming from France. We would send 8 or 9 lecteurs, young language assistants, to France. And we have a lot of Erasmus exchanges and so on. So that's, the universities are working well together. We would have 8 or 9 partner universities in France. But I think the academies do have a special role. And I think what Marc Fumaroli, whose student I once was outlining today, was important in the 18th century and the 17th century, and it's equally important today. And the sense that I have from the meeting over the last couple of days has been there is enthusiasm for some closer relationship between the academies. What there is at present, there is an organization called Union Académique Internationale, which is a Franco-Belgian creation and which is mainly run by Brussels and by the Royal Academy in Brussels. But I think there is room for a closer relationship. Perhaps we might think about having mobility grants, small grants for younger researchers, where perhaps each of the academies in Europe could offer 1 or 2 per annum. That would be one way of working, and that would create the human links between our academies. There is a certain amount going on at that level with our academy, the Royal Irish Academy. We do have small mobility grants, which we give mainly to young researchers, I mean young postdoctoral researchers.
Because there are many things to work on, especially in literature.
Exactly, absolutely, especially in literature. And it's at that point in a person's career that it's very important to get not just the financial help, but the encouragement, the recognition of another academy. It's very important, the recognition that your work has validity in another country. That's really important. I think that could work very well between Ireland and France. I was very struck at the meeting yesterday, particularly when all of the different academies spoke, that very few people spoke in English. There was almost nobody. You were there present yourself. I'm sure that you thought that was very interesting, that there was a command of French. It wasn't just a superficial knowledge, but people were able to express themselves in French all around Europe. So there is an alternative. And I don't, I'm an Anglophone. I mean, my first language is English. My second language is Irish. My third language is French and so on. But I really feel that it's important for us not to live in an Anglophone world. And the danger is greater for people who are English speakers. The danger is greater of isolation, of cutting yourself off and living in a world with only one linguistic perspective. So I think that the type of meeting that we've had in the last few days helps us to break out of that. And a European academy should wish to be part of a bigger European gathering, if possible. I mentioned the Union Académique Internationale, which does excellent work and runs large projects. Large, but not tremendously well-financed projects. It has large projects that run over many, many years. I think the European academies should come together more and do more of that kind of collaborative work.
I hate to say that this interview needs to be short.
Yes.
So we need to stop here. Thank you very much, Jean Conroe. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. That was a very great honour to be invited to speak to you. Thank you.
I just suggest to go on the website of the Royal Irish Academy, and the address is www.ria.ie. Thank you very much. Thank you.